Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let's just read these two verses. The preacher here, which is Solomon, concludes both this book and his thoughts upon everything that he has before developed. So of the preceding things that he's talked about and he's developed, he draws conclusion to these. And he says in verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So the end of all that has been said previously, and really that shall ever be remarked concerning us, God's creatures, men and women, he says, he gives three things. Basically, fear God, keep His commandments, and know that God's going to bring every work into judgment. Now, you know, what are we to pursue as a believer? What are we to pursue? What is our great purpose? What does our glorious God command of us? Our questions that I had written down as I looked at these last two verses. We're not left to wonder. We're not left to guess. We're not left to develop organizations and Bible classes and car washes and all these different things to try to figure out what our purpose is. We got a flyer in the mail at home today, and it was from Teen Maniac Ministries or something like that. And it had all this stuff that you have to do, you know, in order to figure out what your purpose is. And it's just, you know, you must invite these people into your church, and then you must invite all the young people so they can figure out, you know, what they need to do. Well, most preachers, not any that you know, or the ones that are the pastors of Sovereign Grace that I know, they're not going to look at these last two verses and say, okay, here's a checklist. Now, most religion will. They'll just say, okay, it's a checklist. You, this is what your responsibility is. This is your, the whole matter. This is your duty. Fear God, keep His commandments, and realize that God's going to bring every work into judgment, good or evil. And then you, as you live your life, you begin to do these checklists. Well, we know that this is not the case, because as from Genesis to Revelations, grace is the theme of this book. Grace is God's glory, and grace is the believer's, as David says, song in the night. But let's look at these things as it's laid out before us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. First thing we're going to look at is fear God. Again, now lest someone say, okay, this is just a checklist, and I can, first of all, I know many religious people try to figure out how to fear God. They look at all these things as steps. Step one, step two, step three. Checklist, as I said before. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. He starts off there. Jeremiah chapter 32. I think this is just absolutely beautiful the way this is worded in this book, which none of the wording in this book, how it's worded, the phrases, the grammar, none of it is by error, none of it is by option. It is all by inspiration of God, written down for our use and edification, exactly as it is to be read and to be written and to be received. Jeremiah 32. Now remember, now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The first point is fear God. Fear God. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. Now this is God speaking. He says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them," God's people, "that I will not turn away from them to do them good. There's Romans 8:28 right there, just in the Old Testament. He's guaranteed through the covenant of God's grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to do us good. But look at what he says in this next phrase. But I will, that's God speaking about what he's going to do for us, I will put my fear in their hearts. The conclusion of the whole matter, fear God. You can't do it. I can't do it. God does it for his people. God does it for his church. God does it for his elect. God does it for his remnant. So, what God commands his people, he provides for his people. What he requires, he provides everything we have need in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. That's Jeremiah 32. Now back to our text. The conclusion of the whole matter, fear. And he says, God says, I will put. That is grace. That is majestic, pure, sovereign, sweet, amazing grace. God says, I will put fear in their hearts. And our brother here in Ecclesiastes said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. We can't do it. But in Christ, he puts that fear in our hearts. Now we return, as we look at our text, fear God. That is, an expanded definition of this would be a humble, reverential worship for Christ, for King Jesus. To fear God is to have a reverential respect and awe for God Almighty through Christ. Once the new heart of grace is placed in the sinner, we cannot help but fear, respect, and worship God. So what's our purpose? What's the, you know, we don't need 40 days to figure this out. We don't need 20 days. We don't need 10 days. The believer who knows, who's been shown what we are and what he is, we worship God. We fear God. We worship him. Notice in this, as it is written in our text here, this is the first or the preeminent thing in the conclusion of the whole matter. God must be worshipped or feared in order for us to know him correctly. Salvation and fear, that is worship, they go hand in hand. When God does a work through the preaching of the gospel, there's not a bunch of arguing going on. That's what I love about the gospel. It's, you know, I was reading an article, I don't know, sometime this week, and the more the preachers, the more religion debates, whether it's Islam or Christianity or Protestant or Catholic, or the more debate, there's nothing solved. Oh, I like what Milton Howard said, told me years ago. He said, you know, have you ever really won an argument? Yes, you might have stated your position much clearer than the other person. You might be a better orator. You might be a better thinker. You might be a good, you know, these debate teams. You might be good at debate. But in the things of God, it's not about any of that. Usually what debate does is cause division and separation and hard feelings. But when the gospel is preached and believed, when God is feared, it all accompanies, it's all together. You cannot separate. They go ahead. Fear of God and worship and salvation go hand in hand. If someone tells you that they have been redeemed and do not reverence or submit to God or this word, they're sadly mistaken. They're sadly mistaken. Trying to separate these things, the things of God, and salvation, regeneration, and the fear of God, and reverence of God, and worship of God, to try to separate these things is to try to separate imputation and impartation. When Christ redeems us, he imputes to us his righteousness. We are, and then he imparts his nature. We're new creatures in Christ. You can't You can't separate them. They go hand in hand. They go, one goes with the other. That's what James was talking about. And people get so confused about the book of James. They say, well, he's talking about works. He's talking about works accompanying or after salvation. You have a tree. If it's a good tree, it produces fruit. If it doesn't produce fruit, then it's not growing. It's not doing what a fruit tree is supposed to do. It's useless. It's worthless. And in Christ, we bear fruit. Now, some more than others. But they are going to go hand in hand. This truth, fear God, worship God, reverence Him. This truth and experience of grace is what I'm going to call it, is vital to our health and growth in the gospel. It's vital to our growth and health in the gospel. Gospel preaching produces, it reveals, or it draws out within the believer, worship. Worship of God. Reverence of Him. You know, our services, and I got to thinking, well, what if we had 100, 200, 300 people? That'd be a nice situation to think about. Would we do anything different in our worship services? I can't really think that we would. We keep things simple. Would we have more to do for the children? We used to do that when we were gathering before. Every now and again, I think Jackie or whoever teaching Bible class, they'd say, all right, all the kids were going to go to that slide, the slip and slide there at Jackson. It was not really a church function. It was just, if you wanted to go, you go. There was no, trying to get people in and plays and all these different things. No, the preaching of the gospel. We keep it simple. We speak of Christ and Him crucified. The simplicity that's in Christ. And when that is done, and that is preached, and that is believed, and God is worshipped and feared and reverenced, and His Son and His blood and His righteousness, there's going to be growth. There's going to be fellowship. There's going to be love. There's going to be all these different things. I do not need to stand up here and preach to you a 20-part message on how the husband should treat his wife and how the wife should treat the husband and all these different things. We stand up here and we proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Now, I'm open to, if people want to ask me questions and this and that, when you've lived 30, 40, 50 years or been married so many years, there's some things that you learn and you understand, and there's nothing wrong with passing those things on, but you usually learn through experience, the experience of grace that only grace can teach. Secondly, look at our text. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. That is, believe the gospel account and person of Jesus Christ. Christ, how do we learn to love one another? We learn, Christ said, you love me. If you've done this to one of these, you've done it to me. We love Him because He first loved us. And we love those who are like Him. How do we seek Him first and His kingdom? Through Him. By and through Christ. Every time the gospel is preached, obey the commandment. The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Reverence Him. Worship Him. Keep His commandments. Believe on me. He that believeth on me shall not see death. When Christ would preach, repent or perish. When Christ would preach, believe on me. In me is eternal life. His commandments. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Again, there's preachers that just preach a checklist. And all that will produce is a checklist. Well, we can't do it. Believe it, believe Him. Every time the gospel is preached, we never stop coming to Christ. Peter tells us, unto whom coming? Unto Christ. We just keep coming. Keep coming. You say, well, I thought we're complete in Him. We are. We're complete in Him. We grow in grace. We're made more like Him. We learn So the believer never stops coming. We never stop believing Him. We never stop worshiping Him. We never stop submitting to Him. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. When I see you, Lord willing, this coming Sunday, we're going to worship Him. We're going to fear God. If He gives us grace, if the Spirit's here, if you just hear my words, that's all they're going to be, just the words of a sinful man. But if the Spirit takes these things and opens your heart, opens your mind, you will worship Him. And you'll desire to keep His commandment. You'll desire to believe the gospel and live of this gospel. When I looked at this, and I was thinking, now what's a good example? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, reverence Him, worship Him, adore Him, love Him, keep His commandments, believe the gospel, live the gospel. Every time you open this book, desire to obey Christ. If the Lord has given you light in an area, obey that. Obey Him and glorify Him. Submit to Him. I know we sound and speak often like our brother did years ago. He says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's the problem. There's a problem. May He give us daily grace to believe and to live and to learn of His gospel. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. I had a meeting Friday up at St. Louis, and the leading salesman, his conclusion of the whole matter for him, and he makes it plain every time if he wins a certain whatever, it's money. Money is what makes the world go round. Money is what pays his bills. Money is what he seeks for. Money is what he goes after. He's very plain about that. The conclusion of the whole matter to him is money. I'm sorry, but I'm not. The conclusion of the whole matter for the believer, though we're in this world, though we pay taxes, though we work, though we do these things, enjoy life, is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Submit to Him. Bow to Him. Be in awe of His grace. And believe His gospel. And he says, and thirdly, he says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. My thought on this was to live in this world so as to keep our eyes and our mind and our heart and our affections heavenward. That's the duty, the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep His commandments, and live, verse 14, knowing that God rules, reigns, and He's going to have judgment. Judgment is coming. That is, live as we believers, we live in this world as though our eyes and our mind and our hearts and our affections are heavenward. I get really frustrated. The times I get frustrated is when I realize it's been several days and I haven't studied, I haven't read, or I haven't, because I'm involved with something else. Bruce asked me out, how's it going? Well, business is going great. It's too much. Too much going on. Then this is happening. That's happening. That's going on. It's life. Life, that's it. But remember, God's going to bring every work into judgment. Every work into judgment. The Scripture says we're to redeem the times, realizing that every breath we take is closer to judgment. Walk with a loose hand around the things of this world. It's passing away. But what does this book, Peter say? It's passing away, but the Word is eternal. The Word is eternal. It's an everlasting gospel. Honor God by honoring the Son and obeying the Son. Turn with me to John 5. That's what he says here in John 5. I had to read this over about 20 times before I could figure out. It's just, you know, maybe it's just me, but sometimes I read something and it's just, what's he saying? What's he saying here? But in light of this last verse, it unfolded. Actually, Robert Hawker shared this, and I'm thinking he's on a level I don't even know what he's talking about. And I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read what he had to say about it. And then I started looking at what the scriptures here and then in the last verse, and looked at them back and forth, and then this thing started making sense. John 5, verse 22 and 23. Let me reread verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. John 5, verse 22 and 23. Christ says, For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Live your life realizing that it's all coming to an end. Honor the Son, fearing Him, reverencing Him, worshiping Him, obeying the gospel, living in the gospel, and realizing that this is not our home. We're pilgrims. And thereby honor the Son and honoring the Father. And realizing He's given all judgment into His hands. Well, we need to live. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Bruce and I have spent a lot of time talking about this. This is something I think we could talk about for a long time. How are we to live? Now let me read how one man lived. Genesis chapter 5. This man lived according to the conclusion of the whole matter. Worship God and reverence, fear God, obey His commandments, the gospel, and understood that he was just going to walk, he was just passing through this world. And this is how it's phrased. Now, commentaries could be written on this. Bruce and I have spent a lot of time talking about it. Genesis 5 and verse 24. This is the third thing. Live as knowing our home is not here. And Enoch, he's a believer, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now you will explain to me what that means, Enoch walked with God, everything it means, and all that it means. I don't know. I know Bruce and I spent a lot of time on it. I believe it includes fearing God, worshiping Him, adoring Him, submitting to Him. I believe it includes keeping His commandments. That is, obeying the gospel. Seek where the gospel is preached. Submit to the gospel. Learn of the gospel. Seek Christ day in and day out. Redeem the times and walk through this world like Enoch did, walking with God. I would love, and I might maybe just try to do this over the conference. I don't know. I do this occasionally. I'll get something that just sticks in my craw, and then I just find out what all these other men think about it. Because I love talking with these other preachers. But I would love to sit down with every Sovereign Grace preacher I know and discuss this in Genesis. Enoch walked with God to the edifying of my soul. I would love to do that. Yet I know eventually that God the Holy Spirit must teach me what it most surely means. I know He uses one another. He uses us to help us understand the Scriptures. But it must be God the Holy Spirit that would teach us what that truly means. But I do know whatever that means, that Enoch walked with God. And I don't mean it's, I was driving on the way home from Portageville, and I don't think it means, I don't mean anything against Bruce here, with his affiliation with big trucks and big rigs. But it doesn't mean driving down the Interstate 55 with a huge cross emblazoned on the side of that 18-wheeler. I don't think that's what that means. I think that's what people want everybody to see. I don't think it means making sure somebody's watching you and you bow your head before you have meal out in public. I think walking with God, one man said, whatever the religious world says, it's the opposite of that. You know, beads? I don't think so. Programs? I don't think so. What's wrong with standing up and just preaching the gospel? Preaching this book. Fear God. The God of this book. The sovereign, reigning monarch. Keeping His commandments. Knowing that we in and of ourselves are unable to do the least that He requires. So knowing that it's got to be all blood-bought righteousness for us to even fear Him and to do those things which He commands. But knowing that which He commands, He provides in Christ. And lastly, the whole matter. Like our brother said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter before God Almighty is to walk through this world with a light grip around the things of this world. May He teach me, and may He teach us together as we sojourn. May He teach us as His bride and His people to walk with God in worship, in obedience, and in hopeful expectation to glorify Him. It's just really not, I'd say it's not that complicated, because you know you know how much struggles we have. We struggle with stuff. The flesh is never going to get any better. The old man is never going to quit. But really, by His enabling, it's singular and it is simple. May we be taught of Him and learn of Him to walk with Him. And then we'll help one another and encourage one another. And it could be that somebody would say, that person is walking contrary to this religion, to this denomination, to this. This person is set. They're set. They walk with purpose. And the religion is just kind of everywhere. Whatever people say, whatever they think, whatever they want to do, it's all about pleasing people. But this person seems to be, and then they would say, What is this walk? What are you doing? Who do you worship? And we could tell them, Christ and Him crucified.